Good morning, saints. It is good to be with you. I am Mark Timmer, come from Zeeland, as Kathy mentioned, Third Christian Reformed Church. I've been there about 7.5 years, started ministry in the late 80s, grew up in, you know where Drent is? A little burg to the southeast of Zeeland, a little. We lived in the suburbs. We lived in the intersection of two dirt roads. And my dog could sleep in the middle of the road and not be disturbed. You know, it was one of those things. You know, only a couple of cars a day kind of thing. So farm kid. But then moved to Oregon and was there for a while in the Chicago area. And then to Denver, Colorado. And then to back to Illinois again. So been a few places. And I'm older than you think, and I'm tired. I'm recovering because we just had the second wedding in our family here. Got three kids. One of them got married 4 years ago, and then one of them got married at the end of April, and one of them got married at the end of July, and that's just too much in 1 year. And I've tried to find some rules about that and tried to stop. We're glad they got married. All went well, but I officiated those two, and so it's like you got to have perfection, you know, and it just nearly killed me. So I don't want to, but it was good. It was good. But I'm happy to be with you today. So I appreciate the river. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you are here today, but I'm glad the river is here. I'm glad for God's people here, and it's a time of keeping on. And today I hope that there's a little bit of encouragement for us. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need bunches of that. And so hopefully today God comes with some of that for us. Let me just pause to pray again. All right, let's come to God. Lord, as we come to your word now, thanks for this time. Thanks for the riches of your word. Thanks for the way that you tell us things and remind us of things and put things in our hearts today and in our minds that stick with us. And do good things among us to reflect well on you and to build us up as your people. Thank you for the river. Thank you for its history. And thank you for its future. And thanks for this morning and for these, your servants, who gathered. We pray in the great name of Jesus Christ, who's going to come back soon. Amen. Have you ever done something for nothing? I mean, not just do something without pay, but I mean something that just didn't accomplish anything at all, right? I drive older cars, and so, you know, it's about twice a year I wash it just for fuel economy purposes, right? And of course, every time I get that out, it's like the birds know who just got done washing their car, right? You know this? That happened to you? Anyway, dive bomb, right? And when I lived in Oregon, we had a little house there, and I needed to redo the front lawn, okay? So I spent a lot of time. I borrowed somebody's little tractor, and we tilled all that soil up, and I planted it. It was really fluffy, but I got it seeded, and it was coming up. It was in the fall, and I forgot about trick-or-treat. And I was amazed how many people chose to walk across my newly seeded lawn. And of course, it was all fluffy dirt, and so they just sunk in. And I was really disappointed in how, you know, kids are going to do that, right? But these were all adults. These were the parents that came along with it that had to just walk across. And I think I even found shoes in there that were left behind. But just so frustrated. It did all of that work. And do you have that kind of feeling? Do you set your jaw that way, too? That just like, I wish that I had not done that. I wish I had not wasted time on that. But I think we have to think about that, too, in our following of Jesus, right? Is how I've followed Jesus and what I've done as part of the church, does that make any difference? Has this been for something or for nothing? And sometimes it feels like it's for nothing. As a pastor, I can say that. Jesus' disciples needed encouragement then and now. Huh? We need encouragement today to keep on. You need encouragement as the river. Third Church, where I serve, needs encouragement. Jesus gave a couple of pictures, just little pictures, in Matthew 13. I'm going to read those now. Those simple little pictures to help us. And they've got a lot of encouragement in that, so I'm going to kind of draw that out today. We need to keep on and to know why it matters that we keep on. So hear the word of the Lord, Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33. He, that is Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Just that far we read this morning. I'm going to set that off here so I don't knock it down. All right. Three things this morning. We've got 3 points as we think about what the kingdom is like. Okay? Jesus talks about the kingdom. That's his message, isn't it? It's hard for us sometimes to envision that, but hopefully a little help today. But the kingdom is God reasserting his reign in the world, isn't it? Putting things back right. Putting in place his goodness and his wisdom in every place that it needs to be. So 3 things to think about that this morning. First, the beginning of this kingdom may be very small. The beginning may be very small. The first image Jesus uses is the mustard seed, and it's like the end of a grain of rice. That's pretty small. I didn't have any mustard seed, so I didn't bring any with me this morning, but just one little mustard seed, huh? How big is that? What can that do? You put it in somewhere, you put it in the ground, and you're not going to find it back, are you? It's there, but you won't be able to get it back, huh? And the other image is yeast, and I did bring some of that today. Don't tell my wife that I took the last of the yeast. Okay, just okay. Want to pass that around. Are you okay at passing things? Can you do that? Can we do that? All right, can we do it? We'll start on the outside and head to the middle, all right? Thank you. So see, it's like grains of sand, right? It's pretty small. And not much. Looks like sand even, huh? You mix that into flour and you're not going to find it back, are you? It's not much. Once you get it in there, you can't take it out either, can you? Our experience is like that, isn't it? What we do, does it even matter? We listen to the frequent lie from our enemy, huh? We're never alone with our thoughts, are we? There's an enemy in the world who loves to speak lies to us, and we often listen to those. Does it matter that I show up? That I'm part of things? Does it matter that I reach out to try to communicate with people? Does it matter that I speak to this particular person? Does it matter that I give? Does my gift matter? Does it matter that I obey God and have my life reshaped? Is that really doing anything? Does it matter that I serve? Does it matter that I pray and keep on praying? Where have all those prayers gone over the years? There's some things you've been praying about for years, right? What about that? Do those prayers matter? I keep pouring out my life. And does that matter? Does that get us anywhere? And so many times I can't see anything happening. Can it do something when I don't see anything happening? We've been waiting for things to happen for years. What about that? What about it when it seems like nothing's accomplished? Well, I want to say today, and I came today to say God works and God is at work. Even when you can't see it. He's bringing the fullness of his kingdom, his reign in the world. He's bringing it into our lives and he's bringing it around us. And it is sure to happen. But he works in small ways. God loves to work in small ways and to work slowly. I like the patient kingdom, Kathy. That's good. That's good. Remember how God so often works and he begins in a small way? You know, the thing he often does He sends a baby, right? This has been a way that God has worked. We see that in the Bible. He sends a baby. Now, obviously, that's a small thing because a little baby inside of a womb, oh, you can't even see that baby for months, right? And then baby's got to come out, and the baby's got to grow for, you know, years before anything else happens, right? Isaac, Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist, Jesus, of course, right? There's waiting with a baby, months to wait. And then years, decade, a few decades to wait for the baby to grow up. But God seems to like to work that way. Slowly, patiently, the kingdom can have a very small beginning. The disciples certainly felt like things had come to nothing at all, that nothing had been accomplished, right? Well, they had been excited during Jesus' ministry. They were really optimistic about what he was going to do. They knew that this was the Messiah, the Christ, the one sent from God who was going to finally set things right and put things where they needed to be in the world again. But on that Friday afternoon, it seemed like everything was over. There Jesus was on a Roman cross. What did they see? Nothing. Nothing at all. This one whom they thought was the Messiah, the one who would bring the kingdom, died. Evil won. Evil won. They had invested three of the precious years of their life following this man, Jesus. They had listened and learned. They had even done things. They had seen him do things through them. They were sure he was going to bring the kingdom. They staked their lives on it. They were all in for this. But the whole world turned dark in those hours on that Friday. Jesus cried out. And then he died. He died. The Romans never messed that up, did they? They stuck a spear in his side just to confirm it. The body they took down, it was hastily buried in a borrowed tomb right outside Jerusalem. And then there was a quiet, sullen Sabbath. But remember the mustard seed and the yeast. Second thing today, the ending will be big. The ending will be big. The mustard seed and the yeast grow into something. The mustard seed grows into something that could be called a small tree, right? A garden plant, but it's like a small tree. You can't reach the top of it. And the birds can come and perch in it. It's big enough for that. Now, the size is significant, but so is Jesus' mention here of the birds that come and land in it. There's so many times I've just been struck as I get older, how much more that I see it, and I'm learning about it, how many things from the Old Testament show up in the New Testament, right? You read those things together. And here we've got one of those again. And Jesus is drawing on the Old Testament as he gives even just these little parables here. And he's really putting in front of us Ezekiel 17, where God speaks about a tree that he plants. And it says there, birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. You know what the birds represent? The birds are the nations who will come and be part of it. This kingdom that's just a little band of followers is going to spread over the whole earth and touch every nation. That's pretty big. All the nations are going to be drawn in. The kingdom's worldwide. The seed sprouts and grows. But the yeast too raises the whole batch of dough. There's power in it. So Jesus is saying to all the lies that we're tempted to believe, the things that you do matter. Service done in the name of Jesus counts and lasts. Keep on. Don't quit. And don't slow up. Keep obeying, keep trusting, keep loving, and don't let yourself get tired. Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul says, "And let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Paul says the harvest is coming. Keep on. So don't stop believing. The seed's already in the ground and the yeast is already in the dough. So be prepared and have faith for a big ending. Live your whole life for the ending. Christians are really people who live for the ending, right? We live expectantly. We live waiting for what's going to happen, and it's coming. It will be the restoration of everything. Every single thing is going to be restored and put right. The kingdom is going to fully come, and justice and peace and love are going to be finally fully present in everything, and they're never going to leave. So you, as someone who knows the King, you pour yourself in. You use every investment you can, and it will have a result. The call to us from Jesus is to believe, isn't it? Believe what's been done for us. Believe Jesus. Believe the good news, the gospel. And that gospel says that Jesus is the righteous one. He's the one who's never sinned and always did what the Father did, wanted. That one died for our sins. That perfect one died for our sins, and then he came back to life. And so there's no longer any condemnation for anyone who repents and believes. Instead, there's everlasting joy. Can you believe it? Instead of condemnation, instead of you being damned, you get the gift of joy. Your heart dances, and you're going to dance forever. That will be good. When Jesus talks about the seed and the yeast, he's really got joy in mind. He said, you got to know where this is going. You got to know something's going to come out of this. There will be joy. You can count on it. The King always gets his job done. He always comes through. He will deliver. Count on it. And a third thing this morning, we can give lavishly. We can give extravagantly. There's a little detail in our text. Another little detail. Again, it points us to the Old Testament. Our translation that we read said, a large amount of flour. Now, wait, what does Jesus say? Mix some yeast into a large amount of flour. Well, okay, whatever it is. Just the dough is the dough, right? Well, Jesus has more in mind here. It's a huge amount of flour that he references. Why does he do it that way? Because he wants us to remember a story. He expects that we'll know some of the book and we'll remember a story or even two stories. And it's a reminder of a story about our spiritual ancestor, Abraham. And the story goes back to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, the setting there is Abraham, that's our spiritual ancestor. He and his wife Sarah are getting older. The promises have been made to them. God has kept repeating those, but the years have gone by. Even decades have gone by since the promise came. They were like 75 years old at the start. Not prime childbearing years. And then God just takes his sweet time. And Abraham must be wondering, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to play baseball with this kid, you know. It's going to be tough. Is this child coming or not? Can we hang on? Childless and waiting, God taking all the time in the world. And then one day three men show up. They're living out in a remote place, and so any visitors is newsworthy. But Abraham is excited, apparently. Excited because he hurries to meet them. He sees them coming and he rushes, he runs a little bit. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture from that time, old men never ran. It's not because they couldn't. It's because they didn't want to. Because you got to be an old man, you didn't have to run anymore. Everybody else could run for you. They would do the running. You had earned the right not to run anymore, so you're just going to live life at your pace. You don't have. There's nothing that's going to make you run in the world, right? You're not going to hurry anymore as a Middle Eastern man of that time. But Abraham, he hurries, he runs. And he invites them to a meal and a time of refreshing. That's what you did. That was hospitality. And they accept. And then he does something else very interesting. He runs again. He again hurries. He's not supposed to do that. He doesn't know. Does he not know? He knows. But he hurries anyway. He chooses to hurry. And this time he goes back to the tent to talk to Sarah, his wife. And he makes a very surprising request. What does he say? He says, quick, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. 3 seahs, S-E-A-H-S, a seah. Now, maybe Abraham is really excited here. It's clear that he wants to be very hospitable to his guests. But some bread and quick. Do you have any idea what he asked Sarah to do? 3 seahs is not 3 cups. It's like 3 buckets. In Hebrew, it's like almost like a 5-gallon bucket. The Greek has, our version here, it's 3 sata, the same thing. It's like 50 pounds of flour. 50 pounds of flour. Maybe 25 huge loaves. Abraham, what are you thinking? What are you putting Sarah through here? That's a lot of bread to knead and to bake. And that's going to mean lots and lots of leftovers. I guess it's going to mean provisions for the guests to take with them as they leave. They're going to have provisions for their travel. So after that enormous bread order, you know what he does? Again, he runs. He hurries again. He hurries again. But did I tell you there's something else going on here? The story that came before that in Genesis, if you know it, Abraham was, how do I say this delicately? He was circumcised. So he's got some pain as a male. He had a little bit of surgery. And it's not easy surgery. So all of that running, that's not helping. But he does it anyway, right? So kind of amazing here that he's dealing with that kind of pain and he still hurries, he still runs. And he runs now to select a calf for the meal, a choice calf. He wants to pick it out himself, huh? This is lavish hospitality because you didn't eat meat with every meal. Meat was for big days, for feast days, for times of celebrating, but that's what he's making this day. And then he makes the meal and he lets them eat first. So Abraham is going big here. Just kind of over the top. Huh? He's recognizing something that's happened and he's believing. He's given everything he's got. He's being lavishly hospitable. And this man, Abraham, is your spiritual father. He's our ancestor. He's our example. He's who we come from. This is where our faith comes from. Now, this story about Abraham and making this huge bread order and hurrying and doing all of this, this gets some more play in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, did you know? In the book of Ruth, we have the man named Boaz who's going to protect and help Naomi and Ruth, the widows. And remember that Boaz, when he figures out that Ruth is somehow connected to his family, he decides to help Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, and he sends her on her way, after she's been out in the field, he sends her on the way with some barley. Guess how much barley he sends with her home, huh? Not just some barley, but a lot of barley. Again, 3 seahs of barley. Just like Abraham, being really over the top helpful for Ruth and Naomi. I wonder if she can even carry the grain. Maybe she needs help carrying it home. She's got that much grain. So helpful, so hospitable, so caring. That's our pattern. God's kingdom is so good and so great that it calls for everything we got. You got to be all in for this, Jesus seems to be saying. So he's prompting us with these 2 little itty-bitty parables, the 2 little images about a mustard seed and the yeast, to invest big, to see the importance of what you do in response to the work that God is already doing. This is our spiritual DNA, if you will. I guess we can say we've got DNA from Abraham to hurry and maybe even put up with pain, huh? To do things that may inconvenience ourselves, but that recognize that God's at work. A lavish response fits. Go big, Jesus says. God's already at work among us, and we get to join him in that work. And that's a good note for me and for you, I think, in these current times. You know, churches are shrinking around the country, right? You know that, right? We're in kind of a declining church time. That's hard. That's not fun. I've done most of my ministry. I've been a pastor for 36 years, and I'm kind of tired of that declining church thing, you know? But this is where God has me and where God has you. He's put us in this place at this time to do his work and to keep on serving him as the King of Kings. Now, I don't mean that as an excuse, just like, okay, let's just kind of give up. Okay, it's bad. We can't do anything about the stuff that's going on around us. And no, it just means that the work's a little different. Things are being sorted out. God's doing some pruning, but he is not quitting. He's not going away. The culture keeps surprising us too, right? With the stuff that happens, the changes in our culture, like, wow, what's going on? And so there's, in the church, there's a lot of anxiety and fear. Like, what's going to happen? Things are getting bad. Oh no. We got to do something, is what I hear some people say. You know, we got to do something. So things are, you get anxious people, and we got to do, and maybe it's the next election, because a lot of times we put all our hopes on our politics, right? And if only this person becomes the candidate and this person wins the election, then we can see our way to, then it's going to be okay. And as though God's people have never been through difficult times before or lived through in cultures that have been opposed to faith. We just got to keep a little perspective on what we've got. Yeah, we don't like all the things that go on around us, but this is where God has us and what's going on right now. And we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be fearful. And we don't need to do silly things. What do we need to do? We need to do what God's people have needed to do in every single age. What they did in the first century. Follow Jesus. Love people with his love. Serve well. Pour out your lives. What God's doing calls for these kinds of things. The kingdom may start small, but it will end up bigger than anything than you and I have ever dreamed. Far, far bigger. Far, far greater. So friends, today, don't hold back. Don't quit. Don't live halfway. One of my favorite chapters is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the great chapter on the resurrection. It talks about the reality of the resurrection and what it means for our bodies and what it means for death. And then Paul gets to the end of that chapter. After 57 verses, he finally comes to verse 58 and he says this, "In light of the resurrection, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Paul said that then, and we say it now. It's still just as true. It's not in vain. It's all for something. It counts. So don't live like this kingdom is somewhat true, kind of, sort of. Don't live that way. Don't live like it's going to be someday true, like the reality is only going to be here then, and so then it will matter, and now it doesn't. But pattern your life, even now, based on who your king is and what he's doing and what he tells you to do. The kingdom is coming. It's certain. It will be big. And it's going to be coming soon. And when it comes, it will be here forever. And you and I will get to be in it. The seed and the yeast tell us that it's so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the things you do to encourage us. We know we need that. We so often take our eyes off from what you're doing. It's hard for us to see. We see the physical stuff around us and we get distracted. It's easy for us to be afraid or pessimistic. It's easy for us to get tired. So help us. Revive us today. Revive the church around the world. Revive the church here in North America. Revive the American church. Revive the church of Allegan. Revive the river. Revive us, Lord. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Remind us that the good news is true. Remind us that the Savior Jesus is coming back. Remind us that the seed and the yeast, those pictures are pictures we need. Because the seeds are already in the ground and the yeast is already in the dough. And we don't want to be people that hold back. We don't want to be bystanders to your work. We don't want to be spectators. We want to be active and involved. And so keep on with us. Pour your strength into us. We need what you can do. And so keep us and preserve us and fill us and keep on using us. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who will soon return. Amen.